Mark Collier here for Thomas Matters Radio. Appreciate that introduction. We've gotten a lot of comments about how good our music has been, and I can't say that I do not disagree. Busta Rhymes has been, or was been, in my rotation in the late 1990s. I want to say 8th grade, 9th grade, sophomore year. Little Mark Collier used to love Busta Rhymes. And then I saw him recently too on a show, but I digress. We are sponsored, For Thomas Matters Radio is sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions in Fort Thomas, Kentucky and City Barbecue in Highland Heights. Did you know that one of the nation's top-rated merchant processing companies calls Fort Thomas home? That is Omega Processing Solution. They have an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. They've been selected to the BBB's leadership circle of companies, which is a big deal. You should let Omega help you with your credit and debit card processing, mobile payments, gift cards, reward programs, and business funding needs. If you're not sure that you want to change from your current processor, there's no pressure. They have no contracts, no early termination fee. There is nothing to lose, and there's lots to gain. You can give them a call at 442-8100 or visit them at omegap.com for more information, or you can check out their social media sites. Again, that's 442-8100 or omegap.com. And I got a chance to interact with some of the Omega Processing Solutions leadership this past weekend. They are so proud to have gotten on the cutting edge of this podcast trend that Fort Thomas Matters has started. We've gotten better over the course of the year. The download numbers have been great, which is pretty unbelievable to me to see, you know, how many people are actually downloading and listening to this thing on our ForThomasMatters.com or ForThomasMatters.podbean.com and on iTunes. Simply search Fort Thomas Matters. You can subscribe to us there, and every time that we publish a podcast, you'll be notified. So certainly appreciate Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue. And what we're going to talk about today is the gubernatorial and down card elections for 2015. I've purposely been off of this analysis kick for the last week. We are a week out after the election day, not even a full week if you include when polling's close. So I think it's kind of hard sometimes to make a snap judgment, a snap analysis of what really happened. For that reason, I've sat back and have looked at the numbers intrinsically, probably more so than anybody. If you followed our coverage on ForThomasMatters.com, I looked at all the precincts in Fort Thomas, which is a really nerdy thing to do. But I think it tells a bigger story. I think it, if you can kind of look at, you know, the margin of how Matt Bevin won, which he ended up winning by 8 points in Kentucky, and then look at how integral a part Northern Kentucky played in getting him elected. He won Campbell County by 12 points, Kenton County by 17, and Boone County by a lot more than that. I think it tells a story by looking at a city like Fort Thomas, which is notably pretty conservative, and yet Matt Bevin did better in Boone County and Kenton County and Campbell County than he did in Fort Thomas, which is hard to kind of believe. So I think it's important to look at those numbers and have them try to tell you a bigger story about what really happened in the election, what that means for Republicans and Democrats going forward, and whether or not we can kind of, you know, look at this election and say this was the election that the Democrats died. I don't think that it is, but we're going to look at five takeaways that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, that looking into the numbers as detailed as we did kind of tells a larger story about what could happen down the road. And we're going to have Darren Murner, who has joined me on two of the last three podcasts to kind of discuss what those themes may or may not be. And that will be coming up in the first segment. We are sponsored by City Barbecue of Highland Heights, who, in addition to Omega Processing Solutions, has been with Four Thomas Matters Radio since the inception of the FTM radio broadcast. They're located at 2760 Alexandria Pike, right next to Fort Thomas Jewelers, right off of Alexandria Pike right there. Let me tell you what I get when I do the catering deal at City Barbecue. I get the full spread, which is at $14.50 a person. You choose three smoked meats, two sides, cornbread, and a dessert. The meats, I usually go with the pulled pork, the pulled chicken, and the beef brisket. For the sides, you got to go with the mac and cheese. They have a sweet vinegar slaw, which is just amazing. And then the cornbread is out of this world that you can actually eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's that good. And then the dessert just throws everything over the top. For $14.50 a person, go ahead and order that for your holiday spreads coming up. I know nobody likes to cook the day before Thanksgiving, and you're going to have all these leftovers and turkey and all that kind of thing afterward. Buy this before the day before Thanksgiving. Make your family happy. The full spread at City Barbecue. And again, you can find them at 2760 Alexandria Pike in Highland Heights. Coming up, we're going to talk with Darren Murner about the election results and the trends. Mark Collier back with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. We are back with Darren Murner, who has joined us from the two of the last three podcasts. Darren recently released a book that he had been working on for the last 2 years called Corporate Bravery. You can buy that on Amazon.com. Make sure you review it and get a lot of eyes on it. And he also opened a couple other businesses, Borderlands Creative Co-Working Space on Monmouth Street in Newport, as well as Stockpiles, which I'm not even going to try to explain.
No, it's an UpTech 4 company.
UpTech, so okay.
We'll put it that way.
All right. So Darren is obviously smarter than anybody that we've talked to.
Not even remotely.
Darren, how are you?
Good.
So we're going to talk to Darren today about the trends and kind of what happened in the election last Tuesday. It's been a week out now. Matt Bevin is our new governor. A lot of the undercard races went to Republicans, including auditor Adam Edlin, who many thought would be the next person to challenge either Rand Paul next year in 2016 for his Senate seat, or in the next 4 years when Matt Bevin has to run for re-election again. So we're going to talk about some themes. Try to put our finger on what happened in Northern Kentucky specifically, and I think Darren will be a good resource for that. So the first thing I want to talk about, Darren, is the phenomenon that people jump on bandwagons right now, and it seems to be going the Republicans' way. And Democrats are upset about that. Republicans are gloating that fact. I think, and number one, I think the first trend that we're going to talk about is politics as a pendulum. And right now it's swinging the Republican direction.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think just the whole presidential election stuff with Trump and, kind of the whole outsider perspective. Honestly, I'm surprised that Bevin, to some degree, he is a little bit of an outsider in the state of Kentucky. And I actually thought that would hurt him more than it did in this run. The people in Kentucky tend to really love the people that grew up, I think that's probably a big part of why Beshear has been so successful in the state of Kentucky is just, he talks a lot the people in the state of Kentucky. And, Bevin kind of looks a little bit like an outsider, in a lot of facets. So I actually thought that would hurt him. But the outsider trend nationally is more about just people that haven't necessarily been a part of politics or don't really kind of fit the mold of a traditional politician.
Right, and you can kind of look at this and almost try to extrapolate what happened in Kentucky and ask yourself, is this going to be a national trend? Is this an outsider thing going to be? And it's difficult to imagine that President Barack Obama did not loom large over this race. Kentucky's have generally given the state's version of the president's health care laws high remarks, but it's clear from last Tuesday night's results that the general contempt for Obama continued to kind of cast a large shadow. So is this what happened in Kentucky going to be a blueprint for what Republicans try to do next year?
Yeah,
it's a valid question.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of it is like national politics kind of leaking into the state of Kentucky versus, because I mean, if you look at Beshear is still pretty popular in the state.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, he was kind of hailed as this like Democratic wonder guy, you know, with kind of the education reform in the state and, you know, some of the stuff around education reform. The fact that we had our own exchange in the healthcare system, I mean, he was kind of like lifted up as this like national example. And despite what seems to be contempt for Obama in the state of Kentucky, he was still a little bit untouched, you know, winning two terms. He won pretty handily. Some of that might have been because of the candidate he ran against at the time. And I also wonder if this whole like Democrat versus Republican thing, because I know one of the things you and I had talked about was that shift and that swing back and forth. And, you know, I feel like Republicans have not done a very good job of kind of holding the public trust. So Ernie Fletcher was the last Republican governor, you know, kind of went out in a cloud of scandal, if you will. Richie Farmer, who was a little bit of a Republican wonder kid.
Farmer, by the way, still holds the record for the most votes ever received on any public office.
Not surprising, really. I mean,
and is he in jail still?
I assume he is.
Yeah, I think he is.
But, you know, like, I think that's the power of UK basketball in the state of Kentucky. And, you know, Jeff Shepard, if he decides to run at some point, you know.
Well, Jeff Shepard's from Peachtree, Georgia. I mean, he would be an outsider too.
He's a London and Corbin guy now. I mean, it's like he's firmly entrenched in the southern part of the
state. So, Jeff Shepard, if you're listening to this podcast, why in the hell would you ever be listening to this podcast?
But
let me run your campaign. So, and to your point.
Or Cameron Mills.
There you go, Cameron Mills. So, to your point, though, in 2003, Ernie Fletcher won. Republicans won the Secretary of State race. They won the Agriculture Commissioner race. They only lost two offices that year. And from 2003, after kind of Ernie Fletcher did what he did and just disgraced the office, got booted out pretty much. Steve Beshear didn't even make it a race of the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, it's just that pendulum of emotion, it seems like it's never going to be as good for one party. Republicans right now are on the top of the world right now. Democrats are probably as low as they can possibly go.
Right.
My point for bringing up the pendulum thing is it will shift.
It'll swing back.
It'll shift back. Absolutely. The other direction.
And I wonder how much of that is just a part of like our culture where it's like it's the new thing and we're excited by that and change, you know. I mean, that was kind of Obama's mantra when he kind of came into power, you know, 7 years ago. Change. And people just kind of get tired really easily. And,
yeah. Especially with the way the media cycle is right now. I mean, you look at how big of a scandal, and this has nothing to do with politics, but how big of a scandal this Louisville and Rick Pitino thing was for, you know, 3 or 4 days to say is the number one theme on not just sports shows, but on Good Morning America.
Absolutely.
Type shows.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's gone away.
Yeah, it's just dying, you know, until the next big piece of information comes along, and then it's hot again. So,
yeah.
I mean, it really is. We kind of chase things in a really bizarre pattern.
But. So the theme, number one theme is the pendulum swing. The number two is the national trend thing, and I'm going to end that discussion with a quote from who I mentioned before was the now former state auditor, Adam Edlin. He was talking, and this is what he said. He said, the degree to which the National Party is out of step with mainstream Kentuckians has created an environment where it's extraordinarily difficult for a Democrat to win statewide. And he lost his election bid to little known Republican state representative Mike Harmon, who I said on my prediction had no chance.
I know. Shocking.
And here you have Adam Edlin saying, you know, laying some blame to the National Democrat Party. And I guess.
Well, I do think what he's saying about statewide races is absolutely true. I mean, I think the interesting thing is, despite that kind of, you know, fervor and attention for the Republican Party right now, that hasn't translated into the legislature.
No.
And, you know, they've struggled to try to even pick up a few seats year after year. And, you know, at what point does that translate over? And I think, you know, even still, there's a very local statewide races, absolutely that strong and powerful. But for local races, especially in kind of eastern Kentucky and some of the places where there's just, you know, frankly, corruption and things that have kind of held some people in power for way longer than they needed to be in power. That just hasn't translated.
And maybe social media is kind of a good thing in some regards to that. We talk about, you know, the quick news cycle and how that's a negative. But, you know, social media gives people, you know, a megaphone where they wouldn't have had one before, to where they can call some of that kind of stuff out.
Yeah. And maybe even keep pressure on people.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it happen in Fort Thomas. I mean, Fort Thomas Matters came along when you started to run for city council in 2006, 2007
or whatever. Yeah, I don't even know when it was.
2007. And I mean, how often did Mary Brown ever get pulled to the carpet?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you have our mayor, our city administrator, our city council members here who now, they can't just show up to city council and vote yay or nay anymore.
Right.
They're going to get called out if they don't know these issues.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I don't mind making them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's a better place for us to live in Fort Thomas or in eastern Kentucky if our city officials, whether that's local or statewide, are held more accountable.
Accountability is always a good thing. And I think, you know, in the absence of somebody kind of continuing to put the pressure on and you know, let people know that there's, you know, other people are looking at it and are concerned about the decisions that they're making, you know, that people can continue to do the same things.
Sure. And we'll see what happens. And I know we've gotten off on a little bit of a tangent here, but, you know, city council elections are up. All those seats are up for next November.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with who pulls out, who decides that they can't handle the pressure anymore, because here's a little news flash, is we're going to keep ratcheting that up.
Yeah.
We're not going to go away.
Yeah.
So the third theme that I wanted to talk about was the polling efforts, which were run by Survey USA and Western Kentucky and have already been dumped by the Bluegrass Poll who purchased their services. They did a terrible job this year, and they did a terrible job last year when Allison Grimes was supposedly neck and neck with Mitch McConnell.
Right.
You talk to political insiders, and they would tell you a different story.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got this really wrong.
Now, do we think that part of this is just, like, these polling organizations haven't kept pace with, like, how people communicate? And, you know, because if they're just relying on telephone calls, you know, I don't know about you, but I abandoned my landline a long time ago.
I've never been called for one of these.
No. Now, I don't want to be called.
No,
frankly,
I don't.
But
I don't either. But, you know, that kind of speaks to what you're saying is,
who are they talking to?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No idea.
Who are they talking to, number one? Are they talking to enough people, number two? And where are they talking to these people? Because I've looked at some of these studies, and they seem to be, you know, saturated in Lexington, Louisville, bigger type markets.
Right.
It makes sense because that's easier for the survey numbers. I mean, that's where the most people are.
Right.
But at the same time, those bigger urban communities generally don't vote with how the elections turn out.
Right.
How many counties did Matt Bevin win this year?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was a ton.
Over 100.
Yeah.
There's 120 counties in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Matt Bevin won over 100. He did not win Fayette County,
Jefferson.
And he did not win Jefferson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those right there, I mean, that would skew your poll.
Absolutely. Can we talk a little bit too about that? Because, you know, I do think one of the biggest things about this election was its impact on Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was criticism about the debates. And I know, for instance, who runs the chamber? Trey Grayson. You know, I know he was really disappointed that we didn't get a debate located here in Northern Kentucky. And, you know, it does kind of speak to, you know, what kind of influence does Northern Kentucky have in a Bevin administration? And, you know, it's the same for Conway as well. But, man, you know, we've got some really big issues. The whole bridge project and, you know, Bevin is now kind of thrown in with this idea of the bypass, which just sounds like totally ridiculous. You know, if your premise is, hey, let's get something cheaper, more cost effective, you know, building 80 miles of brand new highway does not sound like an effective approach. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see kind of what Bevin administration does with Northern Kentucky and what kind of influence we have.
See, I think if I had to guess, I would say that Northern Kentucky would benefit most from a Bevin governorship over Jack Conway. And here's the reason why. Matt Bevin owes a big part of being in the governor's mansion directly to Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
100% if you look at the primary. I mean, he won by 83 votes, he carried Campbell, Kenton, and Boone County by a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's hope he remembers that. I mean, well, I don't, you know, does he put anyone in his administration from Northern Kentucky?
Well, and I think, you know, looking at his transition team, he did. Tom Kerr was one. Garth Kuhnhein was another. So we've got three Northern Kentuckians on his transition team, which is, you got to think, probably more than has ever been on any transition team.
Right.
And here's what I know about Matt Bevin, and I've interviewed him a few times, so I've gotten to know him, you know, more so than probably any other governor candidate that I will or ever in the future. But Matt is extremely, he is an outsider, and I think that's a good thing in this sense. He has not promised one thing to anybody, not a position, not legislatively, not financially. Matt has done his own thing, which I think is really good. Now, I know there's a lot of Northern Kentuckians that helped him knowing that fact.
Right.
So you would think that help that he received from some Northern Kentuckians, which helped carry him in the primary and then on to, you know, beating Jack Conway, you would think that would probably carry over into his.
Did you get a sense, or did you ask him any questions about that whole thing? You know, how much influence would Northern Kentucky have? You know, how does he view Northern Kentucky in the context of the state?
Yeah, I think Matt really owes a lot to Northern Kentucky, and I think he realizes that.
Yeah.
I know he does. Yeah. So I think more so than Jack. I can't say that. I can't talk about Jack Conway in that regard, because I requested interviews for Jack Conway.
Yeah, and didn't get one.
Probably 10 times.
Yeah.
I was invited to one fundraiser, but I was not promised any time there.
Yeah.
And that was a theme that Jack Conway carried through his campaign. I mean, he was not like Allison Grimes was, where she was out everywhere. She was talking to everybody. He took a different tack, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it sounds like it hurt. It bit him. Yeah.
Well, and who knows if that's the main culprit, but that has got to be one of the reasons.
Now, couldn't have helped.
It didn't. And Matt, and here's the thing, here's my personal opinion on that. When I talked to Matt, he didn't have any notes in front of him. He looked at me in the eye, and we had a conversation. He didn't have to memorize anything. So I think that's why it was easier for him to get out and talk to people, is because whatever he had, you know,
it was just a conversation. Yeah.
What he actually truly believed. And if you look at his first week, now that he's the governor-elect, he's made a couple of statements that will carry over from his campaign, namely taking the names off the marriage licenses, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then number two is folding Connect into the federal program.
Yeah.
And I think those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think Northern Kentucky, I think Matt is a good, it's a good
You're
thing.
You're optimistic.
I am. But the polling has been terrible. And that's the number three trend. The number four trend, I'd like to talk about some of the biggest winners and the biggest losers of this whole thing. And obviously the biggest winner of this whole thing is Matt Bevin.
Right.
Funding a lot of his primary on his own, putting a lot of his own personal wealth in, becoming an outsider. Yep. Obviously, that's a big winner. The second biggest winner is probably Rand Paul, because not only did Matt Bevin win and take out Jack Conway for the immediate future, he really took out the next crop of young Democrats in Allison Grimes. She barely won. She might be the only one standing to run against Rand Paul next year or in 4 years for the right. governorship. But the biggest thing was he took out Rand Paul's immediate competition, Adam Edlin. And I think that's got to be a huge win for the Republicans and for Matt Bevin.
Yeah, I think, you know, back to the Matt Bevin as a winner thing, obviously sweeping into power when you had a really popular Democratic governor that had kind of been held up as this national example. What does that do in terms of his national profile?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, nothing for 2016, but, you know, let's assume that the 2016 candidate gets defeated and there's a Democrat in office again for the next 4 years. You know, does the strength of what he was able to do in the state of Kentucky carry a lot of weight nationally? And does he start to become, especially if he has a successful 1 or 2 years in office to kind of start his administration, how does that translate into a national profile?
Yeah, and I think maybe that goes back to the first trend that we talked about, was that pendulum thing. And right now it seems like Matt Bevin can do no wrong, and
right.
and you know, if he gets 2 years to kind of catapult himself into the right. national spotlight, kind of like Scott Walker did,
in
Wisconsin, or Mike Pence in Indiana, if he becomes kind of one of those conservative bastions that they'll talk about on you know, Glenn Beck on Blaze TV or Rush Limbaugh, which those guys do gravitate to conservative governors. They do try to prop them up, and they right. did in terms of Scott Walker and Mike Pence. If he becomes that person, that is a good question.
Yeah.
Or even John Kasich.
Yeah.
And the fifth theme that I think we should probably talk about is the biggest losers of this whole ordeal, which right now seems to be the Democrats. Specifically, the House Democrats. One of the things that the House Republicans have already said, and Matt Bevin has already said, is, yeah, we've won the governorship. We have the majority in the Kentucky State Senate. Now it's time to flip the House, which would give them the triumvirate and basically carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Unstoppable machine at that point, yeah.
And you've got a lot of House Democrats right now that kind of have to be shaken in their boots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of comes back to that whole thing of like national election versus local election, right? I mean, there have been opportunities in the past for Republicans. They've swept in, you know, when they swept into the Senate, and they've continued to kind of cement their lead there. You know, why hasn't that translated over into the House? You know, is the local organizations that exist in some of these places too powerful for that statewide, you know, glow of the Republican Party right now to kind of break into? I don't know. I mean, the track record hasn't been great, but they've been slowly chipping away, and maybe this is enough momentum to push that over the edge. I don't know.
Well, and it's either that or, you know, the House Democrats have to kind of huddle up here and have to come to Jesus moment and say, you know, we are Democrats. We believe we're Democrats for A, B, and C, but we need to either separate ourselves from what the national, you know, the national themes for the party is, as Adam Edlin himself kind of alluded to, or, you know, I would not be surprised to see some of these moderate Democrats that are kind of middle of the road Democrats. I wouldn't be surprised to see them flip parties.
Mm.
And
do you think there's any positions that they could take up that, you know, they could still potentially be a Democrat and,
well,
know, take up a couple of positions that kind of keep them in office? You know, like I think about, you know, whether it's education related, you know, that's not something that's a national party platform issue. But you know, could curry favor with their local voters.
Here's one that I think, I know Matt Bevin is wants to get through, and I know this Kentucky State Senate, which is led by Republicans, will, that to your point, if Democrats kind of jump on this bandwagon, our surrounding states like Tennessee and Indiana have jumped on this bandwagon and they've done well economically. Now, there's a lot of different reasons. The Republican governors in those states will tell you that right to work is a huge advantage for them.
Yeah.
Matt Bevin talked about that a lot. And I know that that's one thing that he wants to try to get through.
Yeah.
Right to work would obviously be a platform that gives private entities the same platform to bid on public projects as unions.
Yeah.
If you get rid of that forced union relationship and you open up the free markets a little bit, and that's a conservative viewpoint that you could see Democrats jump on.
Yeah.
That you typically wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you can bet they'll work to try to preserve their spot in power. It's just a matter of what positions do they kind of take up and support in order to kind of hold on to power.
Right. And that's the tricky part for them. How do you stay a Democrat in a state where the Republicans are literally taking over?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no seat. I mean, you look at Allison Grimes. Allison Grimes won by 1.5%.
Right. It should have been a slam dunk. Yeah.
Adam Edlin lost by not even by a little bit.
Yeah.
Andy Beshear, who had name recognition, he had raised a ton of money.
Yeah.
He won by less than 2,000 votes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, nobody is safe.
Yeah.
If you're a Democrat, you got a D by your name. You ought to think about,
you're vulnerable.
Yeah. You ought to think about being a little bit of a political chameleon at this point. And really, if they don't, that pendulum probably will swing back the other way at some point.
Yeah.
But if they've got an election coming up next year, it's not going to swing back that fast.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that depends on Bevin's first year, right? I mean, if he has a successful first year, then I think that carries over. But again, back to that whole, you know, does it swing back? All it takes is one or two slip-ups and, you know, they're able to retain power. So I think it's a really important first year for Matt Bevin. And in terms of having a successful year, in terms of cementing kind of the power that he's been given up to this point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens because he's not one to shy away from controversy. He will do what he says he will do, which I think will rock a lot of boats, especially if the Lexington Herald Leader and the Courier Journal continue to cover him in the way that they did.
Yeah.
You might be getting a lot of your state political news from Fort Thomas Matters because he'll talk to me, but he won't talk to Joe Girth from Courier Journal or Sam Youngman from the Lexington Herald Leader.
Yeah.
He's not, I don't think he's going to soften up on those guys.
Well, and unfortunately, not having a strong press, organized press that represents all of Northern Kentucky, again, kind of hurts the region.
Well, we've got River City News is awesome.
Yeah.
They've been a bastion of, and again, let me give a shout out to the River City News. They do a ton of original content, they're in every school board meeting, every city council meeting in Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, you've got some other organizations that are funded by whoever they're funded by, big government entities that try to compete with River City News, that just do a ton of press release material,
right,
which is not original,
right,
and not good. But River City News,
River City News is doing a great job. Obviously, Fort Thomas Matters is doing a great job, but I think it's localized.
Yeah.
And
There's no doubt that media is changing. We are on the forefront of that enterprise right now, trying to figure out how to make it work. And we certainly appreciate our advertisers like Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue for sponsoring Fort Thomas Matters Radio, and certainly all of our other Fort Thomas Matters family member businesses. Make sure that you support them, because if you're not shopping local, if you're going to the chain stores and you're not trying to break out of the box that you put yourself in by, you know, going to other communities and spending money there, we're never going to get this shop local thing off of the ground. And that is really who you can thank for the support that we've had on Fort Thomas Matters, the ability to cover things more in depth than has ever been covered before in Fort Thomas. And without that, without support of our family member businesses like Omega Processing Solutions and City Barbecue, that cannot continue. The good news is that more businesses are contacting us every single day, soliciting us as opposed to the other way around. So the clicks are continuing to go up every single month. The downloads are going up every single month. So you see a value in us. Our advertisers see a value in us, and we're going to continue to add that value to both of you guys. And that is what we've always said that we were going to set out to do, and that is what we're doing, and that's what we'll continue to do. So for Darren Murner, again, this is Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio. You can check us out on fortthomasmatters.podbean.com to see all of our podcasts in one spot. There's also a tab, a podcast tab at the top of fortthomasmatters.com. That's F-O-R-T, fortthomasmatters.com. You can also find our podcast and subscribe to our channel on your podcast app on iOS 8 or higher on your iPhone or Google Play, or just simply type in Fort Thomas Matters on iTunes. Again, for Darren Murner, this is Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio.